the idea of not being able to communicate.
Well, I think, I mean, the thing is, there's a couple of different issues. You know, there's the issue of just the alienness of alien languages, that that's just kind of an interesting piece of conceptual, you know, candy, you know. But then there's the question of, if you want to take alienness really seriously in science fiction, then there's the question that maybe what we think of as language, what might work as language, is actually doing something quite different in terms of the way it's referring to things. And that's what that Star Trek episode, as I recall, is kind of pointing at, you know. And so, you know, what I and it's that level that kind of was very interesting to me, rather than just the also interesting but less kind of fundamental level of trying to come up with a plausible and interesting alien language. And so, you know, for me, you know, what is called language in the book, I mean, you could make quite, I think you could make a very plausible case that it is not a language at all in any sense that humans, that we understand it, you know. And I really like that kind of ridiculously hubristic sort of philosophical investigation as part of a science fictional story. You know, as I say, it has been done various times with various themes, and hopefully you succeed. But even if you fail, you might fail interestingly. You know,
let's start with the nature of how humans first got to communicate with these aliens, and how it didn't go at first, and then how it went.
Well, we're into kind of very mild spoiler territory if anyone really cares about these things. But basically, the idea is that there's a combination of two things that sort of distinguish this alien language. One is that they speak with two voices simultaneously. So they literally speak with a forked tongue. But paradoxically, in terms of that as a cliche for lying, in our, you know, for us, they can't lie. They have no, it's not that they have no conception of lying, but that language to them is a direct reflection of reality, you know, which means that the way that humans learn to speak to them in the book is a kind of chaos of chance and occasional sort of randomness, whereby they discover that two people who share a very, very common mind, essentially speaking at the same time, can mimic one of these aliens speaking language, and that any other form, like through technology or through record, you know, sort of synthesized voices, doesn't work. Now, as I say, I think you know, one can probably very kind of plausibly pick holes in that as in any way a realistic depiction of a language. I mean, my job for the book is to make it plausible from page one to the last page. I'm not for a moment suggesting that this could exist, or that this is how, you know, aliens would speak, any more than H.G. Wells was suggesting you could get to the moon by painting a sphere with magic paint, you know. But for the length of the book, these kind of extremely exaggerated ideas, I hope, can kind of make for a really interesting backdrop for the story.
The central character is, she's sort of grown up on this world, in this embassy town, hence the title, and she has a particular relationship with the local population, in that she is part of their language.
Basically, again, the conceit is, the notion is that within the world of this book, and I stress within the world of this book, I make no broader claims, within the world of this book, these aliens, because of the relationship between their language to reality, their language is the reflection of reality as they experience it, unmediated by symbolism or dissembling or anything like that. But sometimes they have this kind of nebulous, ghostly sense that they want to express something they don't quite have the words for. And this is, you know, in English, in human languages in general, what we do is we use similes. We say, this is like this, you know, this situation is like the following, and we make an argument as to why it's like that, you know. And they also want to do this sometimes, but they can't say that anything is like anything else. unless they have experienced the thing that it is like, the referent, because it doesn't exist in their language if it hasn't existed to them. And so in some very confused way that is unclear, because these are alien beings, they want to express a concept that some of them decide is, you know, will be like a certain situation. So they have to have that situation acted out. And that's this protagonist basically going into a ruined restaurant, and some kind of ritual is performed on and around her, which not in a deeply traumatic way, but sort of is strange and troubling to her and marks her for life, but also means that she becomes embedded in language, so that for the rest of her life, she is the girl who ate in darkness. There's various different versions of saying it, but, you know, the girl who ate what was given to her in darkness. And they give her something to eat so that they can later say, oh, this is like the girl who ate what was given to her in darkness. So she becomes a simile. And within a certain context, she becomes a kind of an alien celebrity, because they're quite excited by similes.
The book is Embassy Town. I've been speaking with the author, China Mieville, and Embassy Town is published by Ballantine Books, Del Rey.